Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low-T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
There it is. Play in or play out? Well, that's not exactly accurate because if they don't win, then they play the winner of the Kings and Mavs. And if they don't win that, then they are done. If they do win tonight, they're taking on the Rockets, speaking of the Warriors. If they don't, then it's do or die, which the NBA loves and all these pro sports love. They like to set these scenarios up and then be playing for their lives. They're 0-3 in the play-in game. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Sorry I'm late. Things to do. Plus, I got to be somewhere at 10. So we got about an hour together this morning, but we're going to make it a great hour because there is a ton going on today. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Before I get to anything, I'm very excited because I was setting up the show this morning and I saw something because I am privy, of course, to the behind-the-scenes thing. So I set up my show not only on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, which please subscribe, hit that thumbs up. We're getting more and more of those. When you hit the thumbs up or the like, what happens is it tells the algorithm people like the content and therefore it will recommend it to other people. So it's really important that you do the likes, please. Really appreciate it. Please, if you're watching on any other platform, whether it be Instagram at John Lund Radio, X at John Lund Radio, Twitch you could be watching on, LinkedIn actually, where people are working for a living, Facebook, whether my personal page, John Lund, or John Lund Unleashed page. However you are watching, much appreciated. If you would migrate quickly over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that would be outstanding. Please tell all your friends and enemies and spread the word and have them subscribe there. Now, my exciting news before I get to the chalkboard, before I get out to roll call this morning, before I get to Warriors play-in discussions and what the Giants did in Philadelphia and more mock drafts for the 49ers. I've had it with mock drafts. I'm ready for the draft. Really, seriously. The process is fun, but I'm burned out. But I'll talk about it because that's what the people demand. Before I get to any of that and even have a good, sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol, maybe not as good as last night, but it's pretty good nonetheless, is that, speaking of the Bay Area Sports Collective, so I tell you every single day, my show is there. In addition to being at John Lund Unleashed, Tom Tolbert's show is there. KNBR legend. Polly Mack and Polly Mack's Particles are there. And usually they're going about 11 o'clock right after I get off the air here. And he's with Creative Tony. And now, and I don't know that I'm supposed to announce this, but this is what I do. Let's put it this way. I know that the show is scheduled for later today. So this is really exciting. Quality Hang with Rod Brooks, our good friend Rod Brooks. Of course, Fitz and Brooks for years and years and years and years and years on KNBR. And so Rod Brooks has been doing a podcast / YouTube show called Quality Hang. And Rod is great. And he is going to be part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, is Rod Brooks. So I told you we're going to be adding shows. And I had a discussion yesterday with someone very, very important. And we got a bunch of stuff coming up. We're going to just keep adding and keep adding and keep adding and keep adding. But anyway, Rod Brooks is going to be part of the Bay Area Sports Collective. So migrate on over there as well. And I don't have the details on what time or anything like that. I just saw that he had scheduled a show. I was dotting I's, crossing T's on this show and putting some stuff up and some details of the broadcast and all those kind of things as I do. I do that at John Lund Unleashed. And then I go over and do it at Bay Area Sports Collective on the YouTube page there behind the scenes. And I saw Quality Hang with Rod Brooks. So it is scheduled. I don't know what time. Just go over there and you can check and see. But welcome to our good friend Rod Brooks. So it's my show. In addition, John Lund Unleashed. It's Tom Tolbert, the Tom Tolbert Show. It is Polly Max Particles with Polly and Creative Tony. And then now we've added a fourth show in Quality Hang with Rod Brooks. And I'm telling you right now that that is not the end. There's going to be a lot more stuff I am not privy to say. And I'm probably not even privy to say that. So you are one of the few. Probably going to get a text in three. Let me see if I've already got one, but I wasn't supposed to say that, but it's scheduled. So I don't think I can get in trouble for this. Although I guess I could. This is part of the greatness of working on your own, though. If I got in trouble on the radio, might be a sponsor, might cost us thousands, millions, whatever. When I do it on this show, I get a slap on the wrist, and they tell me that I'm an idiot and to stop doing the things that I do. And it's like, okay, sorry. I can't keep a secret. You don't tell me anything you don't want to be publicly known. Everybody knows that about me that knows me. Don't tell me anything you don't want to publicly be known. Unless it's, you know, in-house, like family-wise, I'm not that way. But otherwise, man, I'm like, I gotta tell somebody. So try. But it's difficult. All right. As you saw on the show cover, so that is my big news. Play in or play out. You see John Morant and Steph Curry. That was, a week or so ago. If people don't think that a quality leader matters, just look at that picture right there. John Morant, who's never won anything, and Steph Curry, who's just like, please get this guy away from me. And each of their leaders of their prospective teams. So that in and of itself should mean the Warriors should win tonight. But that's not necessarily the case. You see Mike Yastrzemski there. Watching one go out of the park, and the offense, they win 10-4, good buddy, last night against the Phillies. And as they were saying on the broadcast last night, remember when they did this last year, this trip to Philly, they went 0-4. I remember that trip, and I was like, oh my God, they are not even close to a National League playoff team. And I'm not saying one game is going to make this series, because this is a four-gamer. We got a long way to go in this whole thing, but Landon Roop last night induces 20 swings and misses. The offense gets going, and I got something on the defense I'm going to talk about. So chalkboard-wise, it is episode 116. Dubs playing 0-3. They've never won a play-in. Will that change tonight? Will JK play? I think he should. But then again, I thought there were matchups against the Clippers he should have played in and did not. How you feeling? This is just a question out to you, because I've gotten this feedback. I feel good about it. Memphis is obviously a disarray. They fire their coach, Taylor Jenkins. The Warriors went in there and won just, over a week ago, whatever it was. Memphis, since the All-Star break, is 12-16. They are a good offensive team. But then the other side of it is, from a Warriors perspective, is, yeah, you should have beat San Antonio at home, and you wouldn't even be in this position, and you lost that game. You had the Clippers coming into your joint at the end of the season. You win that, you're the six. That didn't happen. So, you know, anything can happen tonight, even though it's so confounding. I don't know if you feel the same way about the Warriors, in the sense that I look at them and I said this a little bit yesterday, they should be great at the end of games. They have veterans. They have options. They're smart. They have great coaching. There's a lot of positives on the Warriors, and yet they lose close games, do dumb things, stupid turnovers, bad fouls, missed layups in Draymond's case. Like, here's this veteran team that's won lots of championships. And when you usually go up against that type of a team in any sport, I don't care what it is, college, pro, whatever, the veteran team, they scare you. Even in the NCAA tournament, this team has been together for 3 years versus a Kentucky or a Duke or something where everybody's one and done and everybody talks about continuity. There's not a team in the league that has, Draymond Green and Steph Curry, they've been together so long, with Steve Kerr, and Jimmy Butler's a veteran, and they've got guys all over the place that should make plays at the end of games and shouldn't lose games like they do to San Antonio. Shouldn't lose that final game to the Clippers in the fashion that they did. You scratch your head, because this team has won so many big games over the years, led by Steph Curry, who's on this roster, and led by Draymond Green, who's on this roster. And I know that there's a lot of turnover, but Jimmy Butler's a playoff Jimmy. Like, let's see it tonight. Is that going to be the guy? And they've got turmoil without, what's going on with Jonathan Kuminga, and what's going to be his mindset if he gets on the floor tonight? He's a young player. He's not a robot. How do young players respond in this situation? Guys, like I told you, the difference between winning and losing these games, I think Curry's going to do what he's going to do. I think he's going to have a great night tonight. I think Jimmy Butler's going to be playoff Jimmy. I think Draymond Green is going to be, a triple-double kind of a guy, 13 points, 9 boards, 8 assists in that range. I think he's going to do what he's going to do. Comes down to, is it going to be Pods, who's played over the last, a couple of months, the way he's played? Is it going to be, is Jonathan Kuminga going to figure something out? I would think that his length and athleticism would fit in any rotation. I'm not saying he needs to play 40, but it's somewhere, right? There's got to be something. So there's just something amiss and off, and I could see them winning by 30 tonight in a laugher. Or I could see them getting beat by a buzzer beater and Ja Morant run off the floor. For a team like this that is this experienced, it's confounding. It's confusing. You're just like, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. I'm supposed to be an expert. I've done this for 30 years. I've covered the NBA and beats for years and years and years. I have never seen a team that is so accomplished as this team is, as the Golden State Warriors are. And I still think they're in that, you know, they're still like, you know, the Spurs and the Patriots, and everybody wanted to nail the coffin shut. The coffin is not nailed shut, and this is still the same team as long as Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Steve Kerr are around. But like a Michael Jordan-led Bulls team would never have this kind of variation. You know, it's like the stock market, like a roller coaster. I don't know what to expect tonight. I'd love to not say that to you, and I'd love to be like, here's why they're going to win, and I think they are. The numbers say they're going to win. They're better than Memphis. Memphis is 12-16, like I said, since the All-Star break. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost a lot of bad games. They have very little cohesion. They're led by a knucklehead leader who does stupid stuff on the court and is more worried about gyrations and showing the NBA you're not going to control me than he is in leading his team in a positive fashion. They fired their coach with 10 games left. That tells you a lot of where they are. So they shouldn't win this game tonight, but somehow they might. And I'm nervous about it. And then I told you this, then you're fighting for your life to take, you know, either taking on the Kings who beat you in the play-in before or taking on the Mavericks who aren't very good. They clearly don't have Luka. They don't have Kyrie Irving, but they do have Anthony Davis, who has 5 career games against the Warriors in the playoffs of 30 or more points and 15 or more rebounds, because the Warriors don't have the size to deal with, you know, with the players in the league like that. You know, Şengün, if they have to play the Rockets, is going to be an issue. Anthony Davis is an issue. Jokic is always an issue. The size always gives the Warriors trouble. So there's not a ton of that tonight. I know they have the big guy. Memphis does, but whatever. He's not a huge factor to me in this game. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be guys that if you give them confidence early, Ja Morant, you give these guys confidence early and they stay in the game. It's almost like the San Antonio game. San Antonio had their golf clubs in the car, but you let them hang around and they thought, well, we're here. We might as well just win. It's the same thing with Memphis. Memphis is a mess right now. A bunch of stuff comes out after the season of just what a dumpster fire season this has been. And what, since the All-Star break, at one point, this team was, I think at the All-Star break, they were 36-18. At one point, they were the number 2 seed in the Western Conference, like 50 games into the season. You know, this was a good basketball team. I don't know what happened. I don't know the inner workings of Memphis. I do know that they probably think to themselves, hell with it. There's something's wrong there. But they could easily, if they are allowed to hang around, they could easily win this basketball game. So I'm thoroughly confused about what they'll do. So Dubs playing, their 0-3. Can they break that streak? That's one part of this whole thing. Couple of different things that I saw this morning. First of all, you know, we look at the Warriors in a certain light because they've won all these championships. And then I saw this graphic this morning from Yahoo, which is most play-in appearances, which you don't want to be. You don't want to be on this list. So the Hawks at 4, the Bulls at 3, Heat at 3, Grizzlies 3, Warriors 3, Lakers 3, Pelicans 3. Now we look at the Warriors as this championship winning team, and they have been. But what this tells you is this is mediocre. Mediocre, Richard Sherman? Hawks mediocre, Bulls mediocre, Heat mediocre, Grizzlies mediocre, Lakers mediocre, Pelicans. Those are just teams that are just hanging around in the playoffs. So that tells you what they've been. And here, even with the addition of Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are kind of mediocre. And that's what I mean by this play-in thing is, you know, like the Hawks and the Bulls, for example. What do you think of the Hawks and the Bulls? They're just kind of hanging around, right? They're barely playoff teams every year. They lose in the play-in or they barely get into the playoffs. They lose in the first round for sure. And that's what the Warriors have been over the last number of years. And when Jimmy Butler arrived, everybody thought, well, they're done with that. They're done with that stuff. Well, they're not. So now they're going to play in their fourth play-in game. They're 0-3. And that's what makes you a little bit nervous is that's kind of what they are now. The Lakers just got out of it being the 3 seed this year and having a nice run at the end. But throw the Warriors and the Lakers out of this just for a second and go Pelicans, Grizzlies, Heat, Bulls, Hawks. That's what those teams are. And you put the Warriors in there, this is their fourth game that they played. So that's the way that they've been. I popped this up yesterday. Here's the matchup against the Grizzlies. And it's misleading because if you just looked at the second half, this is the 4 games that they've played. But since the break, like I said, the Grizzlies have been a mess. So the numbers, there's a lot of them in favor. The yellow numbers are in favor of the Grizzlies. That's a totally different team. And what I would say some of the keys are, just don't beat yourselves tonight. So you see the 16.3 turnovers a game, make that 10 or 11 tonight. You don't need to be the Harlem Globetrotters. Chill out. Just not 16 turnovers. Make that 10 or 11 and you probably win in that situation. 125 points per game. Obviously, the defense has gotten better. since Jimmy Butler around. You can't give up 125 tonight. You're not winning that game. So that's the tail of the tape, but it's not all that telling, to be honest with you, because both these teams have changed so much. As far as the national look, that's the national games, and that's or not the national games, that's the matchup. So we have 4-5, which I love the Nuggets-Clippers series. Going to watch that. Eastern Conference Pistons-Knicks. Knicks should win that. The reason I wrote that piece, I guess, yesterday on the Lakers, and some people pointed this out to me and that I'm very aware of, which is I said that by losing, the Warriors may have actually won in losing to the Clippers because they're going to avoid the Lakers in the first round in that 3-6 matchup. I don't like the Lakers matchup all that much. I've said this time and time and time again that the Lakers without Anthony Davis aren't as good of a team. But the one thing I would say about this whole thing is that the Timberwolves, I think, match up really well against the Lakers. And I could see if the Warriors, I mean, this is way, way, way projecting, but if they can win tonight, beat the Rockets, which is going to be really, really tough, I think they can play the Timberwolves, not the Lakers. And so people were saying, well, when you say that they avoided the Lakers, they're just going to play the Lakers in the next round. I thought, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. By the way, I didn't even do roll call today. What's wrong with me? I got something wrong with me today. I didn't even do roll call. Hang on 1 second. New comments. I don't know why they weren't showing up. There we go. We got everybody. Hopefully my mic works. I just did like 15 minutes. My mic wasn't working. See, that's one of the reasons I got to check in. I got to make sure everything's good. Good morning, Dom. It's great to see you. By the way, I had a conversation about Dom with somebody yesterday. I'm going to have to hit you up. Vernon, good morning. Good morning to Sports Girl for Life, rocking new era. Danny is down in Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, Philadelphia, Atlanta, LA. You didn't need me to sing. Rockin' New Era is here. Todd, what's going on, man? Francis is here. Jake is here. Hurley Bird, good morning to you. Who else do we have? Joshua, good to see you, man. Senor, I like being called Senor. That's ultimate respect. Senor, the 1420 is here. Good morning to you, my friend. Joy is always a joy to have in the room. Pine Needle, good morning. Oh, you changed it from the Masters. I like what you got going on there. Mark Scott, good morning to you, Scott. Hello, hello, hello. Papa J, good morning. Like and subscribe. And like I said, if you just joined us a little better or just a minute ago, do make sure that you like and subscribe not only to John Lund Unleashed, but to Bay Area Sports Collective. We've added Rod Brooks and Quality Hang to everything. So it's very, very cool to have Rod aboard. And I thought I had Rod's number in my phone and I don't. So I had to text somebody and go, can you give me Rod's number, please? Hey, Jesus, good morning to you. It is great to see you, my friend. Thank you for getting up early and hanging out with us, 8 Pacific or so, every single weekday. Let's see, who else do we have? Caesar is here this morning. Good morning, Caesar. Good to see you, my friend. Let's see, what else do we got? Enrique, good morning, Enrique. G Martinez. Hello, G Martinez. All right, I think I've gotten everybody. JJ Raider is here. Let's see. I'm taking a trip to Vegas, not for pleasure, but for business in about 10 days. So anyway, Gabriel, good to see you, my friend. Gabriel, good to see you, my friend. All right, good morning. Sorry I was late today. Sorry I started going through the chalkboard without saying good morning to everybody. I don't know what's on my mind. I don't know if I'm smoking crack, not enough coffee, whatever the case may be. I apologize for that, but good morning to everybody. Always like to say good morning and make sure that everybody is doing great on this Tuesday edition of the show. By the way, before I go any further, let's acknowledge this. Today in 1947, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, which is the most significant day in baseball history, which means that everybody's going to be wearing 42 tonight. And Papa has told me in the past that is a nightmare for broadcasters, but they're just going to have to deal with it. Now batting, number 42. Now pitching, number 42. Now at shortstop, number 42. So you better know your players tonight because it's Jackie Robinson Day. He broke the color barrier today in 1947. Kind of important. How about extremely important? So anyway, happy Jackie Robinson Day. All right, let's get back to the chalkboard at the top, episode 116. Like I said, Dubs playing, they're 0-3. Not that we have to adjust our thoughts on it, but I looked at that graph today. I'm like, oh my God, the Dubs are in the play-in a lot. So that's kind of what they are right now. But give me your thoughts. I'd love to know your thoughts. I'm going to skip down to how you're feeling for a minute, and then I'll go back up to Jonathan Kuminga. Like I said, I'm just thoroughly confused. I don't know. I mean, part of me says they're going to win by 30. Memphis has their golf clubs in their, you know, in their cars too. They're kind of like, this season's been a dumpster fire. We thought it was going to be good. Now it's not. So I think that's partly their mentality, but if you let them hang around, it could be like San Antonio. The San Antonio game is sticking in my craw, whatever that means, because if San Antonio can beat you, anybody can beat you. There was no Victor Wembanyama, you know that. There was no De'Aaron Fox. There was no Greg Popovich. There was no reason for them to win that basketball game. But like I said, what happens with professional athletes, not because I'm one or ever was, but because I've talked to enough of them to know that, look, a lot of times we're not motivated to play, not motivated to win. But if a team is going to let us hang around and we're already here, we might as well play hard. And he just gave us a bunch of confidence. So if this game stays close, that's a problem. Now, the energy is going to be great in the building. It's going to be like a playoff game, all those kind of things. But part of me, and I wrote that piece to say, look, they avoided the Lakers. They're going to beat the Grizzlies. They're going to play the Rockets. That's a better matchup. Minnesota could beat the Lakers, and then you wouldn't even have to deal with those guys. Because I think the veteran, this flies in the face sometimes. I think that veterans come playoff time are more prepared for the 16-game sprint, and therefore I like to play younger teams. Now, at some point, those younger teams are going to break through, and then you're going to go, oh, okay, they're ready. And somebody hit me up the other day. I was like, you don't watch Oklahoma City? I'm like, yeah, I watch Oklahoma City and the NBA quite a bit. What I'm saying is that history and the best way to learn about what will happen in the future is look back at history. Well, the history of the NBA is it takes young teams a minute. And I'm not saying Oklahoma City is not good, but I preach this again and again and again, which is there's an 82-game season and there's a 16-game sprint. And certain teams are built for one and the other. And Oklahoma City is a great team. They're the best defensive team. They're very efficient offensively. They're deeper than any team in this league. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to win the MVP because sports writers are bored about giving it to Jokic every year. Jokic is the best player in the game, but I'm acknowledging that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is very good, but is he going to get the free throw line as much in the playoffs? Probably not. Is depth as important as it is during the regular season over the 82? No. You're gonna break your rotation down to about 8 or 9 tops. Now you can try to keep playing all those players if you're OKC because that's what you do. But we'll see. Usually stay with the hot hands and you look at matchups per playoff series and you kind of adjust those players. Certain players don't play. Certain players do play. I think of Looney, if they're going to get into series, Looney may play against certain teams more or less. JK may play more or less against certain teams, et cetera, et cetera. That's just how the playoffs work. It's all about matchups. And it's not, I don't care what happened in the season series. A lot of times it's, like I said, the Warriors can figure you out. Oklahoma City doesn't have that experience. And that's why I say that about Oklahoma City, not disrespecting what they've done. Same thing with the Rockets. They've got a bunch of young guys. They're key guys. Jalen Green being one, Şengün being another one, Amen Thompson being another one that have never experienced the playoffs and don't know the pressure of it. And I don't care if they played in a high school final. I don't care if they played in a big college game. It's not the same. It's just not the same because you're playing. It's not a one and done. It's a tournament in which you play this team again and again and again, and they figure you out and they say, we're taking this away from you. Can you do that? We're taking this. Can you do that? It's just a totally different game. It's a mental game. There's all these things that are different. The Warriors have been through it. The Lakers have been through it. The Nuggets have been through it. That's why those teams I like to avoid. Now, having said that, let me contradict myself and say the Warriors have all that, as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, and sometimes it doesn't seem to matter because you look at them and you're going, hey, Draymond Green, how'd you blow that layup against the Clippers? There was no one around you, and he was trying to push for the contact and get the three. How about just hit the hoop? He did a lot of good things in that game, but that was a big-time miss. And it's just not a miss that you would expect a guy with that kind of experience to miss. So, you know, those things happen. It's the NBA. Shots don't always go in. I understand that. But that's how you – I say this in every single sport. That's why you got to rely on other ways to win a game. You can't just win one way. You can't just be Curry Flurry, and he scores 41 like he did in – you know, a couple of years ago, and he carries your whole team. Now, maybe it can be that, but there's got to be different ways that you can win a game. That's why Jimmy Butler's addition was so big. It's like, okay, outside, outside game, outside game, outside game, outside game. Oh, here's a guy who can get the free throw line. So if we're struggling from the outside, oh my God, this is another layer to this basketball team that we didn't have before. So there's a lot of different ways. But anyway, long way to say or to ask you just how you're feeling about it, because I'm completely torn. Logic tells me that given their experience, given where Memphis is, given what they did after the All-Star break, all these different things, all the excitement about playoff Jimmy and all these kind of things, that this should be a double-digit win. Now, I haven't looked at the numbers today because I'm not a degenerate, you people, but it was a 7-point spread the last time I saw, which was the biggest of the play-in games. So they're the biggest favorite of the play-in teams. Now, what the hell does that mean? Probably nothing. Hi, Nathan. Good morning. Nathan says, I'm scared as hell. That's what I mean. I mean, part of me said, hey, we're going to avoid the Lakers. And then the other part of me woke up today and said, they're playing. And if they don't win, then they've got to play for their season already, like 2 games into it. And they've never won a play-in game. So that's probably what scares you too, is this is the same team. This is why, like I said, with all this veteran and veterans and this and that and all this experience, they're 0-3 in playing games. Like, that shouldn't be the case. So I'm with you, Nathan, man. I just don't know, like I said, that's one of the worst things you could say. I don't know if Screamin' A would ever go, listen, I just don't know. Like, I don't know if he would ever do that. Probably wouldn't. And that's okay. But I'm just like, No, look, wrong one. He's a good coach. And that's a good team. I'm just saying. Anyway, all right. So we'll see what happens tonight. I'm just trying to take a quick look before I get to some other stuff. Zach Edey. Yeah, that dude. See, here's what's going to happen, and this is what I mean by these kind of things. This is not a playoff series. It's just a playoff game. But think of Zach Edey tonight as Rudy Gobert. They're going to make Edey move. They're going to up the pace a little bit. They're going to make him come out. If he's going to play drop coverage on threes, they're going to switch. They're going to make Zach Edey be what Rudy Gobert is, and they're eventually going to have to bench him. I mean, that's how I see tonight as far as Zach Edey is concerned. He was so dominant in college, and he had a solid rookie season. I know Draymond called him out at one point during the season, all that kind of stuff. But this is going to be a situation where who can we attack? The slow-footed, you know, gigantic seven-footer. That's what they're going to do. They're going to put him in pick-and-roll situations. They're going to make him come out. Those are the kind of things. This is where, again, a series, they're going to have to do this quickly because it's one game. Quickly, I tell you. But that dude is going to be picked on tonight, Zach Edey. So we'll see. And maybe on the other end, he can kill him because Bigs hurt the Warriors. Offensive rebounds hurt the Warriors. The Clippers had key points in the season, on the game on Sunday where they had 3 and 4 shots at the hoop. So, yeah, size is giving them trouble. I just don't know. I'm talking about active size. I'm talking about like Anthony Davis kind of size, Shingun, those kind of guys. They can move. They can play in. They can play out. I think they're going to take advantage of Edey, especially on the defensive end. But we'll see. And they'll probably get out and try to run a little bit on him. So we shall see. But I'm with Nathan, man. I think they're going to win, but I don't feel great about it, you know, but then again, they could win a laugher and Steph could sit out the fourth quarter, you know, who knows? All right. That's the latest as far as that goes. Now, will JK play is the interesting thing. And again, let me play this. And I played this yesterday and this was Steve Kerr explaining why Kuminga didn't play on Sunday. But then it was the follow-up question by our friend, Danny Emmerman, I thought was really revealing about Jonathan Kuminga. So let me play this for you and let's discuss, shall we? Will Jonathan Kuminga play tonight? This is Steve Kerr after the loss to the Clippers in game 82 and why he didn't play.
A group, you know, with since Jimmy got here, that we're pretty comfortable with. Gee didn't play either. You know, Gee's been our highest plus minus guy over the last 2 months. You know, both he and JK have been really impactful players for us, and doesn't mean they're out of the loop, you know, going forward. It's just this is how this game played out.
What was the conversation with Kuminga like when you told him he wasn't part of the rotation tonight?
I just told him in the walkthrough that we were going to change the – I didn't tell him he wasn't going to play because I wasn't sure if he was going to play or not, but I told him that we were going to, you know, not go to the usual rotation in the first quarter.
All right, so again, let me reiterate something I said yesterday. I'm sure he didn't take it well because Steve Kerr didn't answer the question. When players, coaches, et cetera, subjects don't answer the question, they're avoiding the question because they know that you're probably not going to ask it again. Now, maybe somebody will ask it a different way if it's that pressing of an issue. But Danny Emmerman asked point blank, essentially, I'm not word for word here, how did he react when you told him that he wasn't playing or that he was out of the rotation? And he said he talked about when he told him. He didn't say, hey, how Kuminga reacted. I'm sure Kuminga reacted poorly, and I would have as well. In this certain case, I'm not blaming Jonathan Kuminga, and he had shots up, and I showed you that video yesterday, and Danny Emmerman shot that. He put shots up after the game. It was probably because of frustration. I'm sure he called his agent. He's already called out Steve Kerr before and said that he didn't trust Steve Kerr, and look where that got him. I mean, I'm sure he's learned. I'm sure his agent's learned. I'm sure he called his agent right after the game and said, what's going on here? How do I react to this? Real easy. You didn't play, so you don't have to talk to the media. Number two, just go out and get some shots up, and just before you leave or say something stupid or do something stupid or tweet something stupid or social media something stupid, just go out and burn off the energy, relax, go shoot. That's your happy place. Remember, like Happy Gilmore, go find your happy place, JK. His happy place is the court. So he goes and he shoots and he burns it out so that he's not going to send something out stupid and he can be a contributing member of society, and he gets in his car and he goes home. And I'm sure he's not very happy, and I'm sure that, that Steve Kerr is going to talk to him again today. It causes an issue. But I guess my thought would be against the, and the thing about Gee Santos, who cares Gee Santos? Like, he's nobody. He was our best plus minus. That's a hockey number, man. It's so overrated in the NBA, plus minus. It's all dependent on who you're playing on the floor. If I had four scrubs with me, my plus minus would be terrible. I'm a terrible player myself. If I had four Steph Currys on the court, my plus minus would be really good. It's a dependent stat on someone else. It's not a good stat. It's good in hockey. I understand in hockey, somebody all of a sudden thought, hey, that'd be pretty cool to use in the NBA. And it's just, I think it's over. It's just an overvalued stat to me. Everybody else can say that it's the greatest stat ever. It's dependent on who you're with. Now, what Steve Kerr is talking about, though, is that the offensive and defensive efficiencies with Jonathan Kuminga on the floor with Jimmy Butler is not good because they're redundant players. And with Draymond Green, it's even worse. So for the foreseeable future, and this is why Jonathan Kuminga will not be a Warrior after this year, and that doesn't matter for tonight or in the playoffs, but if you can't play with Jimmy Butler and they are redundant as players, they like to be in the same place, and I would like Jonathan Kuminga to emulate what Jimmy Butler does and be that kind of a player and not pull up for threes and go with a mid-range game, and you're so quick and athletic, you can get to the rim anytime you want, which means you're going to get fouls, learn how to, you know, there's an intricacy and a style to drawing those fouls. Jimmy Butler's really good at it. Watch him, ask him, do it. That's what I'd want Kuminga to be. And then, you know, the occasional three is fine. He's a better three-point shooter than Jimmy Butler is, but I don't want that to be your game. You're so athletic and you can get to the rim. You're doing teams a favor by pulling up for a three. That's not who you are. You want to hit certain corner threes. You want to be kind of like Draymond Green, where it's like, okay, if I'm open, I can hit him. I'm not saying don't practice him. I'm just saying you're such an athlete. Get to the rim, man. You know, hone your mid-range game. That's what Jonathan Kuminga should be. Well, that's what Jimmy Butler is. So they don't play well together. The numbers prove it. And then you put Draymond Green on the floor, and as many shots lately as, you know, like he's hitting the corner three, he's hitting the top of the key three. He's not Steph Curry. If I'm a defense, I'm going to dictate and say, okay, if Draymond's going to beat me with a three ball, that's fine. So now you got three shooters on the floor in Kuminga, Green, and Butler, who are not great from distance. And in today's NBA, that's a bad thing. And Jimmy Butler signed a two-year extension. He's here two after this. Draymond Green is going to be here a couple of years after this. So they're not going anywhere, those guys. That's just the bottom line to the whole thing. They're not going anywhere. And if Jonathan Kuminga can't fit with those two other guys, and it's a bad fit on the floor from a spacing perspective, and that you're giving the defense a major advantage, and here's Steph Curry and Podziemski on the floor, and they're the only ones who can spread the floor and shoot on a consistent basis, then Kuminga's not going to be around. And they've proven that. And then here's the other thing. It comes down to the word trust for coaches, and Steve Kerr is big on that. You can tell who he trusts. It's not only the final 5 minutes of the game, it's any critical point during the game, and he just doesn't trust Jonathan Kuminga. So he trusts Butler, he trusts Curry, he trusts Green, period. He trusts Podziemski. He trusts Moses Moody all of a sudden now. We've been screaming from the rooftops for years. Moses Moody, every time he gets on the floor, I'm not saying he's the greatest player. I'm saying he makes very few mistakes, and he's well-rounded. He's a good defender. He'll hit the open three, especially the open corner three. He's not going to do stupid stuff. He's a good defender individually, a good, you know, defender team-wise. He's a smart basketball player beyond his years. So that leads to trust. With Jonathan Kuminga, it's hot and cold, man. You could get Jonathan Kuminga that's jumping out of the gym, scoring 20 and unstoppable. You could get Jonathan Kuminga that's not really into the game. And that's just youth and maturity. And the Warriors can't afford that this time of year. And I tell you that all the time. It's about guys who are in the bank and guys who are the what-ifs. And Jonathan Kuminga for the Warriors, and I'm just telling you, this is the truth, and I know it pisses off a lot of people because I got all the comments yesterday when we did the show. They want to see more of him. And I look at this game tonight, and I say, look, who couldn't use a 6'9" explosive athlete like Jonathan Kuminga? At least see what kind of a game he's in, because, you know, I talk about that with Buddy Hield. Like, Buddy Hield is a heat check. If Buddy Hield's on, you play him more. Mo Spates was that way. And if you don't, then okay, he's not on the floor. Same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. I know you want to have set rotations. Everybody knows when they're going to play. They mentally can get ready. How about just be ready? How about just be ready, and you're in when you're in? That's just kind of how it should be in sports. But everybody's like, when do I play? What is my role? Your role is to get your ass ready. And when I tell you to get in the game, you get in the damn game and you play well. You play hard. That's just what it is. So I can't believe there's not a role for Jonathan Kuminga, but if there wasn't against the Clippers, why would there be against the Grizzlies? The Clippers have guys like Kawhi Leonard who you match up with. They've got, you know, James Harden. Your length on James Harden wouldn't have helped at all. Like, I just, they have a lot. Norman Powell, like they have a lot of perimeter players that he can guard in and out. He should be able to with his length and athleticism. You don't trust him against those guys. So why would you, if you didn't trust him in game 82, where regardless, you're going to play another game. Why would you trust him in a playing game where if you lose, then you're playing for your season. And he sure as hell isn't going to play in that game if he didn't play in 82. And then you play Houston if you win tonight. And to me, they've got a ton of athleticism. Amen Thompson and Jalen Green are jump out of the gym kind of athletes. You don't think Jonathan Kuminga would be useful in that situation? Now, maybe he would. And I tell you this all the time. In certain series, you're going to see certain guys. In other series, you're not going to see certain guys. It's just the way it goes. But I would think against the Rockets with their athleticism that you'd want Jonathan Kuminga on the floor. But what the hell do I know? Because the numbers say that he doesn't play well with Butler and he doesn't play well when you add Draymond Green. It's even worse. So that's what they're looking at. They're looking at the analytics saying this doesn't compute. And I get it. Just from a logical standpoint, you don't even have to look at numbers. From a logical standpoint in today's NBA, I'm not going to call Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green non-shooters, but if they're going to beat you from the outside, you say, well done, you win. It's the same thing with Kuminga. If those three guys are going to beat me from three-point land, well done, boys. Pat on the back. Because Draymond Green will hit one and you get excited. That's the thing about Draymond. I always tell my wife this. We're watching the game. Draymond will hit a top of the key three and I go, oh, no. Like his first one, I'm like, oh, no. And then he misses four because he's like, oh, I'm hot tonight, baby. And he takes like four. And I'm like, oh, you're one for five. You know, he'll hit a key one and he'll raise his hand up like, I got it tonight. And then teams will be like, all right, man, you're hot. Go for it. And then he'll miss like three. And you're like, ugh, that wasn't very good. So, look, I don't know if Kuminga's going to play tonight. I don't know if he has a role tonight. I would think just logically he's been around here long enough. I think after these playoffs, he's gone. I think that he has tried the I spoke out against the team thing. It didn't work out so well. And I think his agent behind the scenes probably texted Mike Dunleavy rather sternly after that game and said, look, Mike, we're going to be cool, man. We're not going to say anything. It's not the proper time. But right after the season is over, we want a meeting and we want out. That's it. We want Jonathan to play somewhere. We want him to develop. He's looking at a lot of guys from his draft class who have been able to develop and play, and he's had it. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing that, but I'm telling you, Jonathan Kuminga is not going to be around next year. That not playing in game 82 was a massive slap in his face. And whether you think it was warranted or not, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, most people that hit me up, and I know it's a vocal minority, but most people that hit me up were pissed off. And I understand why, because if I'm Jonathan Kuminga, what do you want me to do? Now, the worst thing that happened to Jonathan Kuminga was he was hurt. They traded for Jimmy Butler. The team was rolling and he's going, how do I fit in? Like the car is rolling down the road and you're trying to catch up and jump in the back of the pickup truck. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's like, hey, wait for me, man. And he's trying to catch up. And it's like, well, dude, we had a rotation. We were rolling and you're trying to jump back on this thing and you just don't really fit right now. And we're not sure where to use you and how to use you. And the numbers say that you don't play well with two of our best players who are going to have on the floor. Jimmy Butler, unless this is a blowout tonight, Jimmy Butler's playing 40. Draymond Green's playing 40. Steph Curry's playing 40. Like, it doesn't leave a lot of minutes. That's what I'm talking about shortened benches. You know, at this time of the year, there are no back-to-backs. I don't want to hear about tired. Any kind. I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. Look, man. Too bad. That's just the way it's going to go. And Steph Curry will tell you this, and his trainer, who Pop and I had all of the time, yeah, he could play 40 a night if he was forced to, but right now he's going to have to. These guys are going to play that. So what does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? If they don't think he plays well with Butler and he doesn't play well with Green, well, those guys are playing 40 minutes. So where's he going to exactly fit in here? And since he came back from the injury, he's not, you know, before the injury, and he could have melded in with Jimmy Butler, I think this thing would have been figured out. And maybe if the Warriors are going to have a comeback to what his agent is going to say after the season is over, hey, man, we can still work him in. Nope. Sorry. Because the contract is due now, and it's time. And the Warriors have kind of pushed this thing and pushed this thing and pushed this thing. And whether Jonathan Kuminga is going to ask for a max deal or not is really not that relevant. It's just a matter of, are the Warriors really, I mean, I'm just thinking this in my head, it's going to be a significant amount of money. Whatever. Max is, I think, 224. Whatever, 160, 180, I mean, just a mind-boggling amount of money, someone will pay it. And I don't think the Warriors have the confidence to do it. So what they're going to do is they're going to say to themselves, because I think they're probably going to fall short at some point in the playoffs. So I said this yesterday, Stretch Big is screaming need. Like Quentin Post, not bad, man, not a bad dude. But they need somebody who can not only stretch on the offensive side of the floor, but also they can help defend and rebound on the other end of the floor. It's very difficult to find those kind of guys. So all of a sudden you've got to find, you know, somebody like a Mobley with the Cavs. Best of luck with that. I don't know if you can call the Cavs and say, hey, Jared Allen or, you know, whatever. I mean, but trying to find someone, and Allen's not really a stretch on the other side. He's a really good defender, but they've got to try to find somebody and hopefully a younger player who can on one end be a stretch big and on the other end defend and rebound. And that's a really difficult thing to do, but that's what their charge is. And they've got to use Jonathan Kuminga, and probably will use Jonathan Kuminga as bait after the season. But we got a playing game to worry about tonight. But anyway, the only reason I bring up Kuminga and talk about it so long is because yesterday when the show ended, that's all the comments I got was Steve Kerr's an idiot. Why didn't they play Kuminga? They're going to trade him. He's going to blossom. And I told you the story of Jermaine O'Neal, yesterday. I was in Portland. They had gotten bounced by the Lakers. They had a big lead in that game. They were going to play the Pacers in the NBA Finals. This was like 2001. And we were walking towards the Blazers locker room because we thought the thing was over. The champagne was being wheeled into the Blazers locker room. And this was like Rasheed Wallace, Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith, Damon Stoudemire, that Blazers team. And all of a sudden, they just took off. Brian Shaw hit a long three, like a half-court three at the end of the third quarter. And we thought nothing of it. And then I think the Blazers didn't score for like the first 7 or 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. And Kobe and Shaq went crazy, and they wheeled the champagne out of the locker room and to the Lakers. It was a game seven, and that was it. That was over, and then the Lakers, you know, won their championships with Kobe and Shaq. But in that offseason, they decided, you know what, we got to use Jermaine O'Neal to try to get another big to stop Shaquille O'Neal. They went and got Dale Davis from Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis. Dale Davis from Indiana, he wasn't big enough to handle Shaq. Jermaine O'Neal went to the Pacers and was a multi-time all-star, but he was like 18, 19 years old, and they didn't have time to develop him. And it's the same thing with Kuminga. He's just not going to time out with this group of guys. And it would have been different if they hadn't traded for Jimmy Butler. But if they hadn't traded for Jimmy Butler, I'm not even sure they'd be in the play-in. They probably would because, you know, they'd have been better than the Mavs. But they'd probably be in the 9-10, kind of where they were. They were 25 and 26 when they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. So they'd be down near that same, I guess, not much different where they are right now. But I think they'd be playing in the 9-10, not the 7-8. And they'd be playing with their season on the line. So anyway, long story long. Kuminga may or may not play tonight, and Kuminga, I don't think, is going to be a Warrior. In fact, he's not going to be. He's not going to be a Warrior because he's got to be fuming right now, and his agent, I guarantee you, either texted or called Dunleavy that said, we'll be cool, man, but we're out. Like, we'll be cool, but we're out. All right, give me your thoughts on the Warriors, more so tonight. More so tonight. I got on that tangent about JK, so I apologize. It was a little long, but that's what I think of tonight. All right, what else do I have? Oh, one more thing. I guess Kevin Durant is just never going to be happy. The Rockets, interestingly enough, now this would hasten if the Warriors knock the Rockets out. So if the Warriors win tonight, they take on the Rockets. If they were to knock the Rockets out, I think the Rockets would be completely desperate and trade some of their young talent for Kevin Durant. I don't know if that meant Jalen Green or somebody like that, but you know, Mike Budenholzer was fired by Phoenix yesterday. They're completely cleaning house. Now they're going to build around Booker, who I think they said that this is going to be like his eighth coach in 11 seasons. Matt Ishbia, their owner, is going to hire a coach, and he's going to be paying three coaches next year. Frank Vogel got fired last year after 1 year. Mike Budenholzer is got fired yesterday. He's a one-year guy, and then whoever their coach is next year. So he's going to be paying, the owner of the Suns is going to be paying three head coaches next year. Three, and I don't care how much money you got, billions you got, paying three coaches I'm sure pisses you off. So he's going to pay Vogel, he's going to pay Budenholzer, and he's going to pay his coach next year. And the report is that they're going to, the Suns, going to try to find a place for Kevin Durant. And you know, I know he'll never admit it, but deep down inside, where he's pushing it down so that it never gets out and so there's no speculation, it's easy. He doesn't even have to say it. He knows he should have stayed with the Warriors. He knows he should have. They could have won a couple of more titles easily. I know he had the injury to come back from. Maybe he's pissed off the Warriors because of the way they handle it, whatever the case may be. But he goes to Brooklyn, goes to Phoenix, wherever he goes next year. The Rockets, you know, maybe he looks at the Rockets to say, that would be my team. I could see him on the Spurs for sure. The Spurs have a ton of young talent too. And they're going to be in another lottery pick. So I could see, you know, if I'm Phoenix, I look to San Antonio. They got a ton of talent in San Antonio. Minnesota, I don't see that working. The Knicks, he's always said he didn't really want to be there. The Heat, I mean, what are the Heat going to do? Trade Andrew Wiggins in that kind of a deal? I mean, it's, you know, if I'm Phoenix, what do I get out of that? I don't want Wiggins. And that's the problem with Durant is, you know, he's one of those guys making, what, 50, 60 million bucks. So you got to match those contracts with a bunch of young guys and then a crappy contract that you really don't want to take. So I don't know how that all works out. I could see Houston and San Antonio as the top of that list to me. The Knicks have a lot of good players. I don't know why the Knicks would want them. I mean, they'd blow up what they're, you know, Ananobi and all the young players that they've accumulated over the last couple of years. Karl Anthony Towns, that's a good team. Durant's going to make a lot of teams better. I could see him Houston or San Antonio. But my point in bringing that up is he's just never going to be happy. You know, he's just a vagabond. He's going to go from team to team to team, and he's going to try to find, you know, that team that can be his and that he can carry to a championship so that he can hold up that trophy and say, this is my team. Not the Warriors. You know, he had that in Oklahoma City, which he probably, to be honest with you, he should have never just left. Shouldn't have left there. You know, he had a big three, should have just stayed, could have been a lifer there. But he always thought, you know, and a lot of us are like this. Ooh, shiny new thing. Like, I got a new job. And we all bounce job to job to job to job to job. And we think that the job is always going to be better than new job. A buddy of mine told me this years and years and years ago, that highly successful friend of mine in business. And he said to me, I don't know, this is 10, 12, 15 years ago, because I was looking at other jobs and I talked to him about it. I valued his opinion. And I said, what do you think? I'm looking at this other situation. And he goes, look, man, he goes, what you've explained to me makes a ton of sense, but there is no perfect job. And so if you're continually looking for that perfect job, you're going to get to that job and it's going to be the same stuff that you're dealing with right now. Now, maybe it's a better situation. Maybe you're making more money. Maybe you like the city that you're working in a little bit better. Maybe you like the people, maybe you like the boss, whatever. Those things are variables. But he said, there is no perfect job. So stop hunting for the perfect thing. And I think that's what Kevin Durant, even at his advanced age, and he's a veteran, but he lets others, you know, he's so worried about everything else. And I said this yesterday, dude, you get to an age in life, and I'm there, where you don't care. Like what people say, what people think, it's about your happiness. It's about what you want to do. So everyone has an opinion on everyone else's life now, especially in sports. You know, screaming A is, oh, this guy should have went there and he should have never left there. And he shouldn't. And I just said it. I just said Kevin Durant never should have left the Warriors. And I do think deep down in his heart, he knows. Like, yeah, I am an ultimate number one guy, but I could have won 6 or 7 championships with Golden State. And if I didn't care what people thought, I could have gone down as one of the all, you know, he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats, but he could have went down as an all-time great winner. And now what he looks like in his career, and whether I say this or somebody says it or whatever, it's just like, he's a hired gun. So he goes to Oklahoma City. They've got Harden. They've got Russell Westbrook, those guys in their prime. They got Serge Ibaka. That team should have won a championship. They didn't. He goes on to Golden State, but he doesn't like being the Robin to Curry's Batman. He knows that that's never going to change. Then decides to build his own super team, but the problem is a couple of malcontents in James Harden and Kyrie Irving. He teams up the wrong guys. Then he goes to Phoenix and thinks it's going to happen with Booker and Beal. But again, you're talking about there's no bench because you make so much money and they make so much money. There's no depth. There's no bench. There's no size. That burns out. And now you're going to go to another team and you want it to be your team. Well, if you go to San Antonio, I got news for you. Victor Wembanyama, that's his team. You go to Houston, that could be your team. Houston could be his situation. That's why I think Kevin Durant probably goes to Houston if they could work something out and Houston wants him. If the Warriors knock out Houston, their owner's going to be like, oh my God, what's going on? Ah, take these young players. Let's go get Kevin Durant. Like, let's go get that guy, hired gun guy. Problem is at this age and the way that Kevin Durant's built, he gets hurt a lot. He's a thin guy, has a lot of muscle injuries, all these kind of things. He's getting older. I'm not saying he's not great when he plays, but Kevin Durant's hurt a lot. So to me, look, he's one of the all-time greats. He might be, as far as offensive players at his size, maybe the best. You know, he's not better than Jordan and some of these other guys, but I'm saying for a guy who's 6'11", 7 foot, whatever he calls himself, he's one of the best scorers of all time. I mean, he's just unstoppable. But there's a lot of other issues when you bring Kevin Durant in. So I know you don't care, but I observed over this whole thing is now he wants out of Phoenix. And now there's odds on where he's going to go. And like, this dude is just never going to be happy. And my advice would be, dude, stop caring what people think and then go where you want and do what you want. And he always says this, but then he's chirping at guys, you know, with an egg avatar who have 3 followers. It's like, bro, who cares? Why are you letting the chirping get to you? It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's where we are. Suns clean house. Where am I time-wise? I got to get out of here in about 15, so we got to hustle because I got a doctor's appointment at 10 o'clock. All right, Suns clean house. Giants 10-4, good buddy, over the Phillies. Let me hit something for you that I think is amazing that we're not talking about. All right, Landon Roop, 20 swings and misses last night. Awesome. Mike Yastrzemski, another bomb. Awesome. Tyler Fitzgerald is getting off the schneid. Awesome. But the thing that is never talked about, pitching, hitting, pitching, hitting, pitching, hitting. How about defense? Look at that right there. The Giants are the first team in Major League Baseball's modern era. Go impress your friends with us today. Since 1901, to win 8 games or more of their first 10 road games while not recording a single error. How about that? 8-2 on the road, have yet to commit an error. This team, a couple of years ago, I screamed from the rooftops on KNBR day after day after day, where people were probably just like, oh my God, shit up, Lund. I get it. But people forget about defense. They just do. They just think they're major league players. They're going to make the routine plays. No big deal. Matt Chapman at third. Adames has had a couple of, you know, hot shots. Hit had him at shortstop in that Mariners series, but otherwise solid. Tyler Fitzgerald had that error in the Mariners game. They ended up winning it, that wild home opener. But they ended up winning the game. So he's kind of getting his feet under him, but he's athletic and can play second. Lamont Wade Jr. is okay at first. We know what Patrick Bailey is. Ramos is not a center fielder, but he's an above-average corner outfielder. Jung-Hoo Lee makes every play in center, and Mike Yastrzemski's gold glove caliber in right. I said this before the season started. There is no way that this team should not be a good defensive team. Willy Adames is not one of the best defensive shortstops, but just make the plays, man. You don't have to be Brandon Crawford. Just make the plays. Don't make boneheaded plays. Don't give them extra outs. It always seems like when the Giants would give teams extra outs, they would always cash in, and especially the better teams. You give teams 4 outs, 5 outs in an inning, they're going to burn you. Just the way it goes, especially against the good teams. It seems like every time they played the Dodgers, they would give them an extra out, and then Ohtani would be up, and he'd hit a bomb, and the game was over. I mean, something in that realm. So defense right now is absolutely outstanding, and I'll admit my mistake, which is I've talked a ton about the offense. I've talked all about the pitching. I've talked nothing of the defense. And the defense has been great. No road errors. Now tonight they're going to commit 3. But the defense is a major reason why they're playing the way that they're playing. So nice work by the Giants in that regard. Let me share the box score with you from last night. So Landon Roop's numbers are not going to jump off the screen at you, but the 20 swing and misses. In fact, I have a video for you that's going to impress you and all of your friends in just a second. But let me just pop this up real quick just so you can see it. So I don't expect Yaz to be a 311 hitter with an 1,036 OPS, but right now, just ride it. So he gets the home run last night, 3 RBIs in the night, and he is just rolling at the top of the lineup against right-handers. Willy Adames, it still looks ugly with a 203 batting average, but I don't care. I know he's going to come around. You could see the relief on his face after he hit his first home run in right center field. You could just see it. He goes into the dugout. Everybody's high-fiving him. It's like, I mean, here's a guy who had 32 home runs, knocked in, doing a slap top of anything. He's .117, 117 RBIs, and he just wants to be part of the party. And that's what's so encouraging about the Giants. I said this yesterday. They're not playing at their best. I mean, they scored 10 last night. They're now 12-4, but Landon Roop, 20 swings and misses, could have been a little bit better, especially early in the game. Adames still hasn't hit his stride. Jung-Hoo, it's the curse of me. Like, oh my God, Jung-Hoo Lee, this Jung-Hoo. Three strikes out 3 times, but that's okay. Guys pick him up last night. Chapman's hitting .179, hasn't started going. Ramos had a couple of hits to raise his average up. Lamont Wade is still lost, .109. Maybe it's just me. Might want to give him a day off. Might just want to give him a day off. Just like, whew, get in the cage, breathe, day off, relax. Regardless, I don't care who's on the mound. Just maybe a day off. Flores has been absolutely unbelievable to this point. Patty's just known for his defense. But the big thing offensively last night and over the last few games has been Tyler Fitzgerald. He hits his first home run, gets 3 hits, goes 3-for-4. And all of a sudden, if he can hit, let's look at this lineup. Yastrzemski is going to be up and down. Adames is going to hit. Lee is going to hit. Chapman's going to hit. Ramos, I believe, is going to hit. Lamont Wade Jr., I don't know. Flores, he's not going to do what he's doing now, like lead the National League in RBIs. But I said this yesterday. Okay, he hit 4 home runs last year. He hit 23 and knocked in, I think, 84 the year before. He can do that. If he's that guy from the DH position, solid. Bailey's Bailey, and all of a sudden you have Fitzgerald. So if Fitzgerald can hit, Fitzgerald, Flores, Ramos, Chapman, Lee, Adames can hit. Yastrzemski is up and down. Bailey will get you some key hits. It's not going to be a big batting average, but he'll get you a few key hits during the season. And then if you're under the number, which they are by about $25 or $30 million under the tax threshold, which they should be up against every single year, but whatever, I digress. Then you can replace your first baseman at some point because Lamont Wade Jr. is just not getting it done. He's not a great defensive player, doesn't have speed. What he's done in the past, give him a ton of credit for, and he's not going to be a 109 hitter. But he's also not going to hit 25 home runs, which is what I need out of my first baseman. So there's going to be a change at some point there. I wish Casey Schmidt could hit. I know that Eldridge is going to be a guy that eventually takes that spot. But the Giants look good now. So that is a glaring, glaring, glaring need at first base. And nobody trades before the trade deadline. So you're looking at some point late in July. I mean, if you want to overpay, you could overpay for somebody, you know, at some point in July. The Padres last year went and got a rise really, really early in the process. I don't remember when that trade was, but it was really early in the season as far as trades were concerned. So if they're that desperate, there might be somebody sitting on somebody's bench that might be able to give you a little bit of pop. We'll wait on Lamont Wade Jr. They don't really have an option right now. Casey Schmidt is not hitting. I guess they could put Flores over there. He's not a great defensive player, but they could put Flores over there and mess around with the DH spot. But they've got to figure something out as far as that goes because it's not just Lamont Wade Jr. as far as the batting average and the type of thing you can see there. It's just having poor bats. I mean, that's just what it is. And then Landon Roop, as I said, these numbers are not going to jump out at you. So 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 4 earned. 3 walks, 8 Ks, and a home run. Like, you look at that just as a pure box score, and you say to yourself, well, that sucks. But it was rough early. They scored 3, did the Phillies in the first inning, as you can see there. They scored the 3, and then they didn't score again till the 5th. Castellanos, and a deep drive by Castellanos. Hits that home run, but he stopped giving stuff up. It was just, that's it. And then he induced 20 swing and misses. The curveball, which last year was one of the best pitches in the league, it kind of struggled with a little bit as far as averaging thing, but they were really struggling, were the Phillies, with the curveball. Randy Rodriguez gives up a hit, but again, no ERA. Eric Miller, who I've been hot and cold on, but you can't deny what he's done this year. Rogers is Rogers. Duvall with a 10-4 lead comes in and finishes it up. I still don't trust him, but the bullpen does what the bullpen does. I mean, it's just no earned runs, nothing for the bullpen, and you're starting to expect that. So Roop was better than the numbers indicate. The bullpen's the bullpen. I just mentioned the defense. All of a sudden, the defense is doing stuff. And I've said this time and time again, they're not a bad offensive team. They just have to play in Oracle Park for half their games. And that's not great. So they win 10-4 last night. They beat the Phillies. And this is a massive series to me. And I know that it's early in the season, but the difference is last year, they got beat in a 4-game set by the Phillies, which emphatically told you early in the season, these guys don't have it. Like, they're just not it. So absolutely great by the Giants yesterday to get that win. So 10-4 win. Defense, I showed you that stat. They have not committed an error this year. Impress your friends with that. Roop with the 20 swing and misses. Fitz, as I point out right there in the middle of the chalkboard, breaks out a little bit and has been good over the last few games. And just ride Yaz while you can because he's going to have a stretch where you're like, why is Yastrzemski playing? It's just how it is. And this is what I love about Bob Melvin. One thing I almost forgot was that yesterday when they allowed Yaz to hit against the left-hander, Farhan would have been freaking out. Like, Farhan would have been texting Bob Melvin.
Hey, Bob, it's a lefty-lefty. Computer says, beep, 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 boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. He cannot hit against the lefty. Beep, 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 beep.
He'd been freaking out, you know.
Left on left.
Melvin's like, let me manage my gut. I see this guy. I'm watching him. I know what he can do. I'm here all the time. I see batting practice. I see the at-bats. I'm watching with my eyes. I'm managing with my gut. He's going to go left on left. I know Gabe Kapler wouldn't have done that. I know that Farhan wouldn't have allowed that. He would have ran down to the dugout himself and yanked the bat out of Yastrzemski's hand. What happened to Yaz's bats? I don't know. They're gone. I just saw some bald guy run down there and grab them. I don't know who it was. He was in a mask. Like, he wouldn't allow him to hit. So Bob Melvin is able to manage the way that Bob Melvin wants to manage. Now, look, sometimes it's going to have egg on his face and it's not going to work. But I'm not anti-numbers and anti-analytics. You'd be a nut not to be. But sometimes you're going to manage your gut. And that's what Bob Melvin did. That's what Buster Posey allows. And Mike Yastrzemski comes through. I like that. You know, and I understand what statistics and analytics are all about is you've got to stay to the mean, or because if you do that, then it throws everything out of whack. I understand that. But sometimes you got to manage because you've done it before. And that's what he did. So nice work. That's the Giants side of things. Let's see. What else do I have here today? Jackie Robinson debut. I went over that today in 1947. So it is Jackie Robinson Day today. All the 42s out on the field. More mocks, 928. I got to leave in a few minutes, but more mocks here. Let me just do this. What was this? I'm sorry. This is on my board and I forgot. Oh, 3-1, 12. Yeah, we all just talked about that. Okay, just making sure. Let's see. Birdsong and the Wings. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention this too. I would read this article. Shane is very good with the Chronicle. Nice piece. That's the great other thing about the Giants. I was going to say they're not reaching their pinnacle because this guy's not in the rotation. And when this guy's in the rotation, now we're cooking with gas. So just a word of warning to a guy like Justin Verlander, you got to get it together. A guy like Landon Roop can't have that early, even though it was a great game, 20 swings and misses. You got to keep it going. Guy like Jordan Hicks, a couple more of those starts like he had last time. This guy is sitting there going, when can I start? He's been great. There's that. Here's a couple of mock drafts real quick for you. Oh boy, mock drafts. Woohoo. This is PFF. I don't think that guy's going to be around. This is This Morning with Bleacher Report. I think a lot of people would like this pick. This is Bleacher Report on this one. Tyler Warren, Penn State. And you could do the double tight ends, kind of like the Patriots did without the murder, with Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. But I mean, it would be amazing. And in past drafts, I'd be all down for this. But they have so many needs, I just can't see it. This is such a luxury item. You know, this is like you got a garage full of, you know, cars, and then you go buy another one instead of buying like the, you know, SUV that you need, something like that. You know, you live in a cold weather state, and it's like, dude, I've got like 18 sports cars. I don't need another one. And I can't see them being able to do that. But a lot of people would be stoked with that pick. I know that. And then Mel Kiper and Field Yates, and I'm so mocked out, man. I mean, it's Tuesday. What are we, 9 days from the draft? I am mocked out. And so I know they did 3 or 4 rounds, whatever they did. Kelvin Banks, I'm kind of down on this pick, to be honest, even though in my mock 2.0, I put Kelvin Banks there. The more you do work on him, the more you see that he might be a guard. You see that 84 3/8-inch wingspan, Mel Kiper Jr., 42 starts, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the stuff that you read about him, a lot of team thinks he's going to be a better guard. And also with those 42 starts, and I forgot where I read this one. They said that he still has some work to do. Like he's done 42 starts and they say he's not a finished product. I'm like, he's had 42 starts. Like how is he not a finished product yet? So that's a little bit weird. This is a guy that I like out of the draft, Kyle Williams of Washington State. If you watch a lot of, used to be Pac, well, I guess they're still in the Pac-12 with Oregon State. But had a really productive season, ran a 4.4 at the combine. He's about 6 foot, 185. Still looking for that speed receiver. 4.4 is not considered super fast, but it's pretty damn fast. But he had a really productive year this year, did Kyle Williams. I like that. And that was, and people always get enamored with who's visiting. So that's one thing. And then here's another guy like Durant, who I guess is just never going to be happy. So Ramsey was pissed off in Jacksonville, went to the Rams, won a Super Bowl, was pissed off at the Rams. Went to Miami. Now he's pissed off in Miami, wants to go somewhere else. I'm not saying that the Niners are going to be in on him, and he's still a really solid player. But he's just one of those guys that he's just got, you know, a couple of years gone, just a pain in the ass kind of a guy. So he's going to get traded. What else do we have here? Do I have a Sweet Clean? Oh, yeah, let me do this. Let me finish with a Sweet Clean family friendly caboose supposed to go. I got to jump because if I'm late, they're going to get really mad at me. Let me see here. Let me call up the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. Let me do this before we get out of here. And then I will post. I got a bunch of stuff to post later today, so don't go anywhere because I got a ton of stuff I got to post. But let's give you a Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. I couldn't find this yesterday. I did today easily.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
All right, these pop-ups are pissing me off, but here it is right here. I've been a reporter. I've been an in-game reporter. I've been a beat reporter. I've done all the different things you can do, live stuff. Braves reporter gets female fans' number during live segment and his peers are furious. You probably can't do this. But there it is right there. This Braves reporter didn't strike out asking for a fan's number, but his peers are calling foul. A FanDuel Sports Network segment showing reporter Willie Ballard asking for a female fan's digits during Atlanta's 8-4 win over the Blue Jays has come under fire for highlighting a double standard in journalism. A quote, if a woman covering a game started hitting on fans and asked for the numbers, would they be crucified and fired? Kylan Mills, who she used to be here, right? Posted on X. But here you see this inappropriate behavior, long celebrated, blah, 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 blah. Misogyny is alive and well. Segment began with Ballard asking for the names of two women standing in the Corona rooftop patio inside Rogers Center during the fifth inning. After a brief interaction, one of the Braves announcers said, okay, Willie, you got five innings, four more innings to get the numbers. I'm on it. And then he, of course, as you can see right there, actually said that. All right, they want me to get your number, Ballard said to the woman who was left. I'm dead serious. They're saying I'm in my ear right now. She doesn't have to believe me because she thinks you guys are making this up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short is he asked for and got the numbers. Now, the girls are very pretty. He probably could have dropped the microphone and asked them off the air. But to me, they were just kidding around and we can't have any fun anymore, I guess. I get it. I understand that. If there was two guys and a woman, and she said, can I have your number? I don't know. In the joking fashion in which I'm taking this, I think they're joking and I think they're just having a fun time. But I guess some people are upset about it. So would I have done it? Probably not. But again, in the vein of Braves reporter, see, the headline is a little bit misleading. Braves reporter gets female fans numbers during live segment. His peers are furious. It sounds like they're just having some fun. If a woman was doing that and just having some fun, I would think that it would be just fun and not crucified, but I could be wrong. The one thing I will say about females in sports, they have to work 10 times harder. They can never be wrong because, as she points out, Kylan points out, that if they are ever wrong, then it's like, oh, she sucks, she's a woman, this and that. Absolutely. And it's not an envious place to be. And there are so many women that are great at their job. It does suck that they're held to such a high standard. A guy can screw up. A guy can misspeak. A guy can miswrite this, that, and the other and be wrong, and it's celebrated. When Charles Barkley is wrong, it's celebrated. When Screamin' A. Smith is wrong, it's celebrated. When Nick Wright is wrong, it's celebrated. Like, and that happens all the time, and they laugh about it or whatever. And when a woman is wrong, it's like she must be fired because she's stupid. I mean, there's a clear double standard, and I'm not disagreeing with that at all, and it's unfortunate. It's not fair. In that case, I think that they were just screwing around, but I could be wrong. So there you go. That is your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pills for today. Let me just real quick, quality hang with Rod Brooks. Let me try something real quick. Hang on 1 second, all right, because I want to be able to tell you when this is happening. So let me just try something here. How can I do this? Oh, okay. Oh, I know what I could do. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to find out when it is. You could probably pop over there faster than I can, but I'm going to do something here because I got to run. I'm going to be late, and they're going to be really mad at me, but okay. Da, 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 da. Here we go. Quality hang right there. April 14th. Maybe it is released. Maybe it's released. Hang on 1 second. Quality hang, quality hang, quality hang, quality hang. Maybe it's already up. Oh yeah. Okay. It's a sneak peek. It's a sneak peek of Rod's. It's on the page right now. Okay. It's on the page right now at Bay Area Sports Collective. Sorry it took so long. I'm just clicking things here. Bay Area Sports Collective. There's a teaser up. Yeah. So Quality Hang has joined. Rod Brooks has joined. And there you go. Okay. All right. I just wanted to double check on those kind of things. Sorry, I should have done that before the show. So make sure that you subscribe. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please, please, please. Give us a thumbs up. That helps the algorithm. Get your alerts on because I'm going to send out a few new pieces. Plus I promised you the mock. I haven't gotten it out yet. It's going to be out today. So make sure that you check that out. If you subscribe and should to Bay Area Sports Collective, John Lund Unleashed is there. The Tom Tolbert Show, Polymax Particles featuring Polymac and Creative Tony. And now introducing Quality Hang with Rod Brooks, which has been around a while and Rod is awesome. So we're adding, I'm not going to say every day, but I am privy to some conversations, so we keep doing more and more and more and more. So Rod is joining the crew, and there's a little teaser up there at Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. Everybody have a great day. Sorry we were short today. We will have a longer day tomorrow, and we'll get you ready for the draft, and we will talk tons of Warriors tomorrow because the play-in is tonight. Hit me up on the comment section right under this broadcast, or at John Lund Radio on X. I'm always there on Instagram as well. Bay Area Sports Collective, LinkedIn, Facebook, all those different places. Everybody have a tremendous, tremendous.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!